Matt Roskridge is with us, and Matt's really neat because he can talk economic issues with us. Most of us are a little out of our league when we go down those pathways. But Matt is an economist. He's from Te Atawa and Ngāti Tama, and is the director of Te Rangahau and Associate Dean Māori and Professor in the School of, well, in the school at Mass University, School of Economics and Finance. So it's always neat to have you on the program. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, kia ora, Dale. Thanks for having me again. It's always such an introduction. It makes my head swell a little bit when I hear you say all that.
No, well, I was just hoping, you know, you might be good for a loan. But that's probably not the economics that we're talking about, Matt. Now, everything's up in the air politically here, but I guess from an economic perspective, a few organisations will be slightly on tenterhooks here. What are you expecting for the economy from this likely coalition? Does that impact interest rates, et cetera? Call it all my.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating one, eh? It's going to depend a huge amount on whether we get ACT doing a little bit better in these negotiations, which will probably, I think, tend to favour more libertarians, much smaller government, less big spending, whether we see New Zealand First, which would be the horse that I'd put money on, do well in these negotiations, in which case I think we'll still see a smaller public service and things like that. But they're a little bit more keen on these big spending projects like infrastructure. And National's quite fond of infrastructure, particularly they're quite involved with the trucking lobby, with Main Freight and groups like that. So I think if National and New Zealand First can make this coalition work, we might see some big infrastructure projects, better roads, safer roads, tunnels and things like that come through. And there's not a huge amount of capacity in the construction sector at the moment, but those sorts of big projects will be nice stimuluses for the economy.
It could be jobs for the boys too, Matt, don't you think? The big players, and we know them all, Fulton Hogan's, Fletcher's, these types of organisations, yes, they do have the personnel and the pūtea to make things happen, but this infrastructural area is where Māori, especially post-settlement iwi, have been wanting to invest in road construction, building of schools, building of hospitals. But we haven't seen a lot of uptake from our people in these big think projects. Do you think that is likely to change, complementing the change of government?
No, I mean, if anything, I think it might get a little bit harder under the new. So my understanding is there's a lot of barriers to scaling up for Māori construction providers and things like that. So the insurance costs, the ability to underwrite the labour and materials while the projects are undergoing. So they brought in that 5%, I think it is, a procurement target for Māori providers.
And even we didn't even get anywhere near
it. Huge. No. And it was just it's incredibly difficult to scale up, and you got the big players out there who can, you know, Downer, Fulton Hogan, and that can underwrite these huge projects. And without the state or maybe some of the big iwi coming in and providing their support for Māori construction firms, it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to, any new player to break into that that club of a few big construction infrastructure providers. And I think arguably that is adding to the cost of construction. We're a very, very expensive country to build something in. And you look at what they're able to do in Aussie around everything from houses to infrastructure. We're much more expensive here.
Why so?
Well, there's lots of arguments as to why. I mean, it may be a lack of competition in that sector. Some of it is that we're a long way away from supply chains or a smaller market, so it's more expensive to get stuff here and there's less demand for it. But it would be good to know more about. I mean, you know, the Commerce Commission have been looking at all sorts of things around supermarkets and that. It'd be neat to have another look at their construction sector. I think they did have a little one. But it's an area where, I mean, competition can only be a good thing.
We are a nation that is invested hugely in the residential property market, and we know that Labor avoided any talk, didn't want to create the nervous middle ground to often determine the outcome of an election. Yet, as soon as they've been hammered 2 weeks ago, they say that some sort of tax may be on the table. Do you think that was a misstep then that accompanied their political campaign? And do you favour a capital gains tax or the like? And how might that affect whānau Māori?
Yeah, look, capital gains tax makes a huge amount of sense. They're certainly they're in use overseas. And we kind of have one with the bright line tax. I mean, being out to 10 years, I think the bright line tax was a de facto capital gains tax in lots of ways. But I couldn't work out for the life of me why Labor was so afraid of that policy. It was popular among voters. Capital gains taxes are in use overseas, including the countries we like to compare ourselves to. I never understood the reluctance of Labor to get it, and it's pleasing to see. I mean, it's a little bit late. Starting to talk about the 2026 campaign already is a bit of a strange one, but yeah, it's pleasing to see that they're putting that back on the table. The reason why, I mean, some of it for me is we don't want people putting, I mean, property's not a great use of people's money, right? It's not creating more wealth, you know, it's not investing in businesses and innovation and R&D. And it's driving up pricing, making houses unaffordable for people. So, I mean, ways of getting money out of that real estate sector and into other parts of the economy, investing in businesses, investing in other things, that's great for us. I think that's where we should be, trying to take some of the heat out of that property market and put more investment in Aotearoa into productive activities like business startup, like export, like trade, is really important.
Wouldn't know how to, though, to be honest.
Have you
got a share portfolio, brother? Because most of our people don't understand it. And then we've got the emergence of an outfit like Sharesies, for instance, which has had some sort of meteoric impact on our share market and our youth investing. You say, you know, we've got this habit of investing in real estate and that ignores potential earns in other areas, but most of us go through school without any instruction on financial literacy, how the share market works, etc. I know that's a generalisation, Matt, but do you think that we need to prioritise this area a little better? Because if it's not houses, perhaps we're better, and obviously the interest rates in banks, you might as well not bother also. So, you know, the alternative is the share market, but how the hell do you invest when you don't understand it?
No, all I've got is my KiwiSaver, and I completely agree. We don't – I remember doing a little share market competition at school, but that was about it. We didn't – we don't teach it at all in financial literacy. We don't even look at it a huge amount in economics at the moment. But if you look at like the U.S., just about all my friends in the U.S., even people who are on very low wages working in hospitality and things like that, they will have shares. That's something that's it just seems to be part of the American psyche, is to also they talk about almost like they're betting, but about picking up some shares on the market. And when we were in Hawaii recently, my taxi drivers were when they weren't taking people in their cab, they were trading shares while they were waiting for customers. Which I, you know, just it's amazing the difference in the understanding and confidence of share trading in the US compared to here. But look, I think it'd be something. I mean, New Zealand stock market itself's very small. I don't think there's that same opportunity for making short term trades just on that. But if we could get I can't see any problem with teaching people a little bit more about how to have a puzzle on the share market. Certainly, even just buying those indexes like the Dow Jones.
The Dow Jones? I've heard the term more than I've heard the weather in Tamaki Makaurau. But anyway, in there lies an issue. Mate, I just want to touch on it. Thank you for your willingness to talk about your own health journey here. Listen up, you guys. Matt has had his second surgery for prostate issues, but as such, willing to talk about that in the hope that he can help other guys to get tested and to recognise how that could impact their health today, but more so tomorrow. Thanks for your willingness to talk briefly about that.
No problem at all.
Maybe we could talk in more length, but not this time. What would you say about, the main attitude is, it won't happen to me. I guess we all go around thinking that, and then it does.
Yeah, look, I was only 37, and my dad had been diagnosed at 60. His urologist said, make sure you get your blood tested. So my brother still hasn't got a test. His doctor won't give him one. Mine sort of reluctant. No, I mean, mine was okay about it, but everybody said, you don't have, you're way too young. Did the test, my PSA was high, went to my urologist. The urologist, I had to pay private because you wouldn't get into the hospital being my age. Urologist was pretty confident that it would just be something else. The whole way through, I was getting people say, you don't have cancer, you're too young. And sure enough, there it was. And I've heard more and more stories of young men coming up with, people under sort of 60, 55. Is all young for prostate cancer, let alone in your 30s. There it was, big surgery. Second one at the moment, it's hopefully unrelated, so it's the new tumour, but it looks like it might be benign. So we're just waiting on the pathology there. Surgery was just earlier this week. But yeah, it's incredibly important too. I mean, it's just a blood test, the PSA. And you get to know what your number is. Best case scenario, it's incredibly low. And you know that, I can just get another one in another 5 years or whatever it is, especially if you've got a family history. But people think, if I'm going to get tested for prostate cancer, it's going to be the old finger test, or it's going to be incredibly invasive. It's only a blood test, and worst case scenario, you get to understand what normal looks like for you, and whether you're seeing any changes in that PSA that might mean that you can get to urologist earlier. The earlier you can see a urologist, the earlier they can treat the cancer, and the less likely you are to have long-term side effects, let alone die. So, it's funny, it's a big surgery. I tell you what, it's knocked me around for the last year. But it's a hell of a lot better than dying of cancer.
Yeah, good on you, Matt. We're in your corner, man, and thanks very much. As Māori men, we have to encourage each other to prioritise health. Sometimes we sort of think, no, other people are more important, not realising the taonga that we carry because of institutional knowledge and the like, and the supportive role we can play in our families going forward. All the best to you on that journey, brother, and thanks very much for talking some economic issues with us again.
Always happy to do that.
Thank you, man. Thanks, mate.
Nice.
See you, mate.